Okay, good evening.
Good evening.
So we're in Parashat Ba'alotcha, and there are, like all the Parashiot, a lot of interesting things here. We have here lighting the candles of the menorah. We have the second Korban Pesach. We have Miriam talking on Moshe Rabbeinu, Lashon Hara, which we don't exactly understand what Lashon Hara it was. And we have the people are complaining they've got no meat. And if we want to talk about all the issues, it will take a long time. So we try, first of all, to start in the beginning. Then we go to the what we call Kivrota Ta'ava, where the people complains about no meat, and we'll try to understand what the complaint about. But first of all, when we start the parsha, we see on the beginning a strange thing. Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe le'emor, daber el Aaron v'amarta alav be'a'alotcha et hanerot. And here always I ask, what's the translation to English?
You kindle the
lamps. Okay. You've got a different translation or it's the same? Is this in translation what you've got?
No, this is in Spanish.
In Portuguese.
So what is it in Portuguese?
What is written in Portuguese?
What's written Ba'alotcha? Let's see.
I am in the wrong fashion.
Okay, it's also in Portuguese when you cannot find the place. No, what are you going to do?
What is in yours written?
When you kindle the lamps.
Yeah.
Why do I ask it? We talked about in the past a lot that always when we look at the translation, we have to understand that sometimes it's not a translation, it's an explanation.
Yes. Yes.
And there is a big difference between them. Because in order to really understand what the Torah tells us, we need the exact translation sometimes, but you cannot do it always. Now, for example here, what's written in... Can you read what is Ba'alotcha et hanerot? What does he write there?
That you light the candles.
Light the candles. Okay, so I'll ask you now. We all know a little Hebrew. If I want to say that I want to light the candles, what would I say in Hebrew? Le'adlik et hanerot.
Yes.
Le'adlik is to light the candles.
Yes.
But what's written here is be'a'alotcha. I'm sorry to tell you, but be'a'alotcha is not to light the candles. It's a different phrase. Be'a'alotcha et hanerot, when you, if I want to... A direct translation would be when I will raise up the candles. You see, the Torah is trying to tell us something.
What shortage is this?
Le'alot.
Le'alot.
To get up. Le'alot. To get up. Be'alotcha et hanerot. So, what does the Torah tell us using the phrase be'alotcha instead of Be'adlikcha, instead of telling us to just light the candles? And of course, all the translations, as you see, they write light the candles, because for them, Ba'alotcha is light the candles, but it's not true. The idea is very simple. What is this menorah for? What is it standing for? Standing for the light of the Torah. Kiner mitzvah v'torah or. The candle is the mitzvah, and the light is the Torah. In other words, when we are talking here about lighting the candles, we are really talking about the light of the Torah. And this is, when we start it, it's like a teacher wants to give the light to the student. Now, how do you do this? You can do it in a simple way. You just tell him. You just light the candles. But then, when you leave him, would he have the possibility to go on and do things by himself? Or the minute you will go on, he will just turn off. Or he wouldn't find anything new. or he wouldn't elevate himself because he will stay at the same level all the time. So the Torah is using the phrase be'alotcha, that the idea of lighting the candle is that the flame will go up and you make sure that before you leave the candle, that the flame go up. If you remember on Hanukkah sometimes, even when lighting the normal candle, sometimes it doesn't catch. And sometimes it catches, but turns off.
Yeah.
So the Torah is telling you, if you don't make sure that a candle will have the flame going up after you leave, you didn't do your job. It's not lighting the candles and go. You have to make sure that the candle is going to light by itself. And the idea is ba'alotcha, to get up. In other words, when I want to educate my children, or a rabbi wants to educate his talmidim, or a teacher, or anybody who wants to give a message to others to use it. Now, how do you do it? You can do it like you tell him what it is, and you've got a duplicate. He is going to do exactly what you are doing, but that's it. In other words, I lose the unique side that we said in the last parashiyot. Also, we used a very strange phrase. Instead of telling us count the people, the Torah tells us tisa et rosh adad bnei Yisrael, raise up the heads of Am Yisrael. What did we say? That the Torah is trying to tell us that each one of us got different qualities and different abilities, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu wants us to understand that we're not just another number. We are individuals, that each one of us got a different mission, different tools, and we have to use our own tools in order to take them and put them together with everybody. In other words, to elevate ourselves together with all Am Yisrael. And the menorah is telling us the same thing. Because the only way to elevate ourselves is through the Torah. So the Torah is telling you, again and again and again, a very basic thing. Each one of us is a creature of God. And each one of us got talent, special talent. Each one of us is an individual. And you have to be an individual. In other words, if the teacher teaches you to be a parrot, we didn't do anything. In other words, there won't be any chidushi. There won't be anything new. He is going to go on the same way a rabbi told him, the teacher told him. And there won't be no inventions, no new things, no developments, because he's going to do the same thing. Imagine to yourself a world where there's nothing
changing,
that everything stays the same. It will be a boring world and a terrible world.
That's why I like this Chochmah Bina V'Dat. Chochmah, we ask
the knowledge.
The knowledge. Then you construct the knowledge. And then when you construct the knowledge, you assimilate the knowledge and you put in practice.
And you have, yes, and you have to do something with it. That's exactly what the Torah is telling us. To give the knowledge, it's important. But the student has to learn what to do with this knowledge. To create new things. That's Be'alotcha Tanerot. So in other words, in the first chapter of Tehillim, the Rasha here's got a beautiful explanation. It's written there, Vayak et shatul al pal gei ma'im asher piryo iten be'ito. That a tzaddik should be like a tree that is planted on palgei maim. What is palgei maim?
Rivers that flow.
Not one, a lot. Which is impossible. You cannot put a tree, one tree, on a lot of rivers. It will be one river. So the Rasha here says, the Torah, David HaMelech is trying to tell us first something. What is he trying to tell us? From one side, we are being told, Aseh lecha rav, you have to have your own rabbi. From the other side, they tell us, here in Tehillim, that what the Rasha here says, that you have to learn from a lot of rabbis. Nevertheless, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah says that somebody who learns from one Rav is not going to be blessed. He's not going to see blessing in his life. So, what's going on here? Tell us, I want to understand. From one side you tell us, Aseh lecha Rav, you have to choose one rabbi. From the other side you tell us to take a lot of rabbis. What's the difference? The difference is very simple. Halachically, if you want to know the halacha, you have to choose one rabbi. It's like I'm writing on Shabbos that once I was sitting in a wedding, and they brought this steak. Ah, steak intricate. Wow, it smelled very good. The problem is, I had 1 hour before milk.
Halavi.
So I'm smelling the smell. So a friend is saying, what's the problem? There's no application now. It's no application on the phone. You take it down and then you ask the rabbi the question. It's a lot of rabbis there. And you also write what answer you would like to get.
You're direct.
That's a new one.
And in this case, the answer was very simple. In Holland, they wait only 1 hour.
Yeah. Right.
So if we have somebody from Holland on your table, and if not, find somebody, on a neighbor of somebody, and then after 1 hour, you can eat the steak.
But Rega, diary?
I'm laughing. I'm laughing. It doesn't work.
Ah.
It's a joke. Doesn't work like this. That's what I'm saying. Because you have to choose one rabbi. You cannot say, okay, in this case, I will ask this rabbi. At that case, and you all know how it works, because you know some rabbis are very strict in one thing, and the other stuff, they're not so strict. So, you know, we can go around. I can make it even worse. On Pesach, you want to eat kidneyot. So you go to a Sfaradi rabbi.
Yes.
He will tell you, no problem, eat kidneyot. Then when it comes slichas, you don't want to wake up the morning like the Sfaradim to say slichas. What do you go to? Ashkenazi rabbi. So no, you don't have to. In other words, this you cannot do. Ze aseh lecha rav. That's aseh lecha rav.
Someone says, is the way that you ask, is the way if you want to get an answer, is the way that you ask.
I told you even better. You just write the answer and you will find you the rabbi who gives you the right the answer you like, and that's it, finished. Yes. Everything is okay.
Not the way you ask. I always complain. Regina always tells me sometimes I yes.
It is the way you ask. But if the rabbi answers you because the way you ask, it's a problem.
That's right.
But you know, I must tell you, a few years ago, somebody offered me to open a branch on a center that is going to be open on Shabbos. Now, I'm not dealing with this branch. They just buy the stuff from me and they sell it, but the problem is they open on Shabbos. In other words, I'm going to enjoy from profit that is made on Shabbos. I'm not going to supply on Shabbos. I'm not going personally sell on Shabbos. It's somebody else going to do it.
But you know that they're going to do it.
Yes. I know that they're going to sell the shops. I may, you know, I sell to a lot of shops, to a lot of places. So I cannot go and stand there and see what they're doing with the stuff. And if I sell to somebody a chair and he's Mechalel Shabbos on the chair, so it's my problem.
No,
it's over. So if you want to think about it, I sold on a normal day. I didn't supply on Shabbos. I didn't take money on Shabbos. Somebody else did it with my stuff. But I am not involved in the actual selling to the last end user. Okay. So I went to the Rav Kanievsky. And I asked the question. I phoned, I think. I don't remember if I went. I think I phoned and I asked to ask the rabbi, can I do this or not? I know what the rabbi answered me.
That you can.
Sepastnisht. What's sepastnisht? It's fishy. In other words, it didn't say no. It didn't say no, but it didn't say yes. It says to you, sepastnisht. You don't do a thing like this. In other words, from the way I asked, maybe he thought that I need this business, And maybe I needed this business. So in this case, he could find a way for me to work, to do this business. But it's not 100%. So now it's your decision. Of course, I didn't do the business. Baruch Hashem.
Very difficult.
I'm saying it's very easy for us to stand from the outside and criticize people yeah. what they do. And you see,
when
in
you,
this case, I asked the rabbi, I'm asking always. But the rabbi was clever enough not to tell me something that I cannot stand.
Yeah.
Something that I cannot keep. Of course, if there is a way to do it. I'm sure that if I told him I'm going to sit on Shabbos and sell, he would tell me, I'm sorry to tell you, Mr. Hamburger, you're not allowed to do this. But I'm just want to show you, yes, it's the way you ask, and it's the way after you choose a good rabbi that knows how to deal with you. But at the end of the day, it's one rabbi. You cannot choose a rabbi according to the answer you want to get. That's the idea. From the other side, so what is really David HaMelech telling us? And what is the Gemara in Avodah Zarah telling us?
Then you have to study, learn from there.
In other words, it's a different issue. To learn, take a lot of sources. Because otherwise, what would you be? Like we said.
Yeah.
Instead of elevate yourself and be a unique person and use your talent, you're going to be a copy, a duplicate of the rabbi. And that's not what the Torah wants. That's why the Torah is telling you, Ba'alotcha et anerot. You have to give the tools to the student so he can elevate himself. Each one in his own unique way. So how do you do this? You give him the right tools. Chokhmah, wisdom. Bina, you give him the tools to take 1 plus 1 and make 2. And then, of course, you also give him the tools to practice, not only to think and do nothing. You know, there are a lot of people that have great ideas through the history. They had great ideas, unbelievable ideas, but they did nothing with it. But there were other people that took those ideas, it wasn't their idea, and did unbelievable things with it. And by the way, at Sefer Bereshit, at Parashat Bereshit, we have the sample. Cain in heaven. Cain's got a beautiful idea, bring a sacrifice to God. Hevel takes his brother's idea, but he makes it the proper way, and God is listening to him and not to Cain.
Yes.
So this is about Ba'alotcha et anerot, which is unbelievable to understand that even one word that is a phrase that is not exactly in the place teaches us so much. And there was a lot of other things to learn from Ba'alotcha et anerot.
So the question, why they translate wrong?
That's what I said. That's why we cannot. We always get it. I don't know if you remember, you didn't come to all the shiurim we had, but through the years, a lot of times we get to this point that I ask to look in the translation and you see that it's nothing to do with what's written. Because the translation is really an explanation. And unfortunately, it's not the right explanation. Because they see the menorah, they see the Kohen, and they understand that he is lighting the candles. So what do they write? Ba'alotcha, ba'adlikcha, who cares? What is he doing? Lighting the candles. Ba'alotcha, lighting the candles. But that's not the idea. So that's why when we need to learn the Torah, always connected to what's written in Hebrew. Always you have to be connected. Because a lot of times if you read translations, and only translations, you will not understand what the Torah is trying to tell you.
Then you have to be expert in you.
Don't have to be an expert. As I told you, you have to be an expert to know how do you write in Hebrew to light a candle?
No, but if I read Be'alotcha,
yes,
and
no?
I read the English...
Do you understand what is Be'alotcha?
No.
Yeah, fair. But la'adlik, you understand?
Yeah.
Okay. So.
Okay.
So why is the Torah not using a very easy phrase, la'adlik, that everybody understands? Instead, it's using ba'alotcha, which
yeah,
a lot of people don't understand.
Course. This is important.
That's the point. That's not only for you. It's also for me. Because Ba'alotcha is not Ba'adlikcha. Even if I know Hebrew. That's exactly the point. It's not. So, when you look at the translation. Now, if you don't know Hebrew at all, okay, so you just understand what's going on here. And then, okay, that's your level. It's no problem. That's why the translation is okay. The rabbi don't say this is a, you don't, sometimes there are some translations that the rabbi will tell you, don't look into them. But the normal translation of Art Scroll and all the well-known translation, the rabbi has got no problem with it. But if you want to go into it, they explain to you. You have to understand that looking through the translation in order to learn the deepness of the Torah, impossible. Because to learn this is only with the original letters.
Here is a commentary that explains that Hashem, he doesn't need the light. He asked Moshe to adlit the Nerot. The Midrash tells that they consider the light that shines in the sanctuary, the Beit
HaMikdash. Yeah.
That is it's the answer to the right and the justice, the emet and justice, and to illuminate the world.
There are a lot of, as I said, there are a lot of explanation. Of course, God doesn't need the light. The light is for us.
Is a symbol of this, and
the Torah is a symbol of the light of the Torah. That's the light. By the way, light is Torah. You have to understand.
Yes.
There's something very interesting with light. You know the speed of light. Nobody can over it. Can go over it. Nobody.
No.
Doesn't matter how. You will have the engine that goes 300,000 miles a minute. Still, the light, it's like they did that if you're going in a certain speed and another car is going a certain speed, if you are going quicker, you will get quicker to the place. But the interesting thing is, if you're in a different speed and the other car is in a different speed, the light will not change the speed.
No.
It will be the same speed for the one who goes slow and the one who goes quick. Which is very strange. That, by the way, this is one of the thing of Torah Yachasirut of Einstein. The minute you go over a certain limit of time, you go back. Or in other words, something happens. You know, you cannot go over it. So in other words, light, that's what we say in Bereshit. Bereshit Bara Nisham Et Haaretz V'Hayata Tohu. The light was created. Then God put the light for the tzaddikim, for the latid lavo, for the next world. For the future. In other words, the light we have is in a very low level. So where is this light put into? The Torah. That's the light of the Torah. And the menorah is the symbol of the light of the Torah. And they say, El mul pnei ha-menorah ya'iru nerotea, that the light should light in the face of the menorah. Which is also very strange. The light should light to the people or to God. As we said, God doesn't need the light. And the whole idea of this light is the symbol. El mul pnei ha-menorah says one of the beautiful explanations is that what we have here, we have up there. So the menorah here is standing against the menorah up there. In other words, it's the physical world against the spiritual world. And light is spiritual. So, Ba'alotcha ta-nerot, we understand, we're talking about the light of the menorah, of the Torah. And the idea is, that each one of us will get his share in this light of the Torah and elevate himself with his personal abilities. And now talking about a word that was translated, as we saw, in a different way than what it really is, there is another thing that we're going to go quickly through it, which is when Am Yisrael are complaining that they've got no meat. Okay, this is Perek. Yeah, it's Perek Yud Aleph. Perek Yud Aleph. Pasuk. I think Gimel.
Gimel.
No, let's go to Dalet.
Yud Aleph.
This is Yud, Regina.
No.
Yud.
Yud Dalet.
Yud Dalet. Bay.
It's in Shishi, Shishi. After Vayehi bin Soaron. You have a noon that is
yes, in the
opposite way.
Yeah, this is
two
this
noons,
is more
which is also a very interesting thing, but we're not going to go into it now. Vayu am kemit onenim rabo uznei Hashem vayishma Hashem vayichar apo vativar bam esh Hashem vatochal bitzah machane pasuk bet pasuk dalet gimel pasuk dalet the asafsuf. Have you got it? The asafsuf.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not going to go into all the details, but each one of those words got a meaning. Asafsuf, for example, is asafsuf is le'esof, to gather, and sof is the end. The asafsuf are those people that Moshe Rabbeinu gathered, or they came with Am Yisrael. They were not Jews. They were not a part of Bnei Israel, and they brought us to the end. Asafsuf, asaf sof. Okay, that even to see that even the meaning is inside the word.
Some people say that these people who make trouble today, the
descendants of the Asaf, okay,
Asafsuf.
Yeah, could be. though what is we are being told that they all were ended in the desert, they didn't come with us in. But it doesn't matter. We have our own problems.
Yeah.
Now, itavuta ava. What is itavuta ava? They desired.
Mm-hmm.
But when we go to Pasuk Aleph in the same Perek, Vayi Aam ke mitonenim ra. Vayi Aam and the people were complaining badly in the ears of God. Have you got it?
Yeah.
Now, I want to understand. I mean, we haven't got time to go into all the details, but what's going on here, generally speaking, is Am Yisrael are complaining, they've got no meat. And God is getting angry. And then he gives the meat and tells you, you're going to eat it not one day, not 2 days, not 3 days. You're going to eat it 3 days. It's going to go out of your nose. That's what's written here. And that's what's happening. And then they are a lot of people are being killed because of this desire for meat. And the question is, if we go back, when Am Yisrael got out of Egypt, they also asked for food. But there, they got the food with no problem. And another interesting thing that people don't realize, we have the Slav here. Yes? So people think that that's the first time that Am Yisrael are eating Slav. Not true. From the first time they got manna, the man, they also got Slav.
What
got
is also, Slav?
Yes?
What is?
Slav is the, like a chicken, I don't know, a bird. A bird that they were eating
quail.
In the desert. A quail. So this quail, it's not the first time that they get it. They already got it all the time. Which raises up the question, what are the complaints?
Yeah.
So you would say, oh no, you didn't want quail, they wanted beef. It's also no problem, because as we saw, they got out of Egypt with cattle.
Yeah.
So they had also meat.
That's right.
So what are they complaining for? Then they say something very interesting. That's the basic of the complaint. They say, "Zacharnu et hadaga." We remember the fish we had in Egypt, free, and the kishuim and the watermelons. And it looks like woohoo! They had a feast in Egypt.
Yeah, they were slaves. They won a feast.
Said something with we got. I can't understand what's written here. And then the Atanaf Shenu Yevesha, our soul is dry. En kol bilti elaman enenu. What we got every day is this man. So what's so wrong with the man? They said that the man had every taste that you wanted.
Yes.
And also the Torah is telling us that they could put it and do with it and cook it and do whatever they want. V'tamo ketam l'shad Hashemen, had the best taste in the world. So I'm asking you, you are eating the best food there is, and somebody is offering you a schnitzel with
a lot of oil
that was there for 2 weeks. What would you prefer? The schnitzel? Or this beautiful steak or whatever you like to eat? Strange.
Yeah.
What's going on here?
They complain they don't have
meat. And also they had meat. So what to say, oh, you know what? They had meat, they had chicken. Fish maybe they didn't have. And it really said, we remember the fish, but they don't ask for fish. They ask for meat.
Yeah.
So what's going on here? What is going on here is in one letter. When we go to the beginning, Vehayu a'am kemit onenin. Now tell me what's the translation here. Vehayu a'am, Perek Yud Aleph, the first pasuk. Vehayu a'am kemit onenin. What's written?
Kemit onenin.
What's the translation?
Complain.
Complain. In English also?
They took to seeking complaints.
What's again?
They were looking for complaints.
Oh, looking. See, this translation is already closer to what we want to say. Because here it's not written Vayu am mit oneni. It's not that the people were complaining. They were kemit oneni. In other words, what they were saying was not what they meant. There was a secret desire that was really controlling what's happening. And what was this desire? To the joy of flesh. All kind. I'm not going to go on with it. The idea is very simple. Why don't they want the man anymore? Because the man was a very spiritual food. However, they were living in a very spiritual environment. Now imagine to yourself, if you're on a spiritual level and you are a physical guy, you go to a restaurant, you order a steak, they bring you this big plate, covered up, they open the plate and you have a small pill, a black pill. He says, what's this? He says, you ordered a steak. Steak filet, that's steak filet. Filet mignon. Bakasha.
Filet mignon.
Filet mignon. He says, what filet mignon? This is a black
pill.
Small, nothing. You eat it, you see. You take it, eat it. Wow, filet mignon. Unbelievable. Okay. You order dessert. I want strawberry ice cream with
mousse
cream and mousse chocolate. You like mousse chocolate. They come again with this plate, cover, take it off. Now you have two pills. One is red. He says, that's the strawberry. The other one is white. That's the cream. He says, sorry. He says, yeah. That's the...
Tasty.
So tasty. You take... What? Strawberry ice cream. Unbelievable. Take the cream. But I'm asking you, are you going to enjoy this meal?
No.
We eat with our eyes. We want to cut the steak. We want to smell it. We want to chew it.
Yeah.
Feel it. We are human beings.
Yeah.
Now I met those people, the Asatsuf, those Egyptians that came with Am Yisrael. You know, every day they're getting those pills. They go, what's this? We want to smell the steak. We want to cut it. We want to feel it. We want to chew it. We want to be physical. We want to go after our desires, and this is not for us. So the complaint is not really about wanting meat. It's not wanting to be so spiritual. As we said, the whole idea is be'alotcha et hanerot. The whole idea of Am Yisrael is to be spiritual, to elevate ourselves, to have the light of the candle and take us up to heaven and not down to earth. Take the part of our body and elevate it. Because the candle is the body and the light is the Torah, is the spirit. And that's the idea. So in other words, when we look at it, we start to understand. And you know, the questions are so clear. Because anybody who reads, for many, many years, I was sure that they really didn't have any meat. And they were only eating man. And then one day I was looking at, and it's very interesting that nobody Nobody is telling it to us. But the truth is, when you go to Parashat Haman, what you say every morning, it's very clearly written that God is not only giving us man, but every evening is giving us quail, slav. So in other words, from the first day they got the man, they also got with the man the quail. So in other words, if we're talking about complaints, there is no reason to complain. So God, what is it saying? You're complaining, no problem. You will get your desire. And you will realize that at the end of the day, if you want to be only connected to earth, you will stay there. And that's what God is telling them. Here.
This is a strong faith.
Yes.
If you want only...
ואתה אמרת בשר, אתן להם ואכלו חודש ימים. And then, let's go. We have here also the עניין of the 70 זקנים. So, ורוח נסע מאת השם, and the wind came and brought those quails and on the camp. ויקום העם כל היום ההוא כל הלילה וכל היום אחרת ויעשו and everybody takes and they took talking about the quantities הבשר עודנו בין שנים and the meat is still in their teeth טרם יקרת ואף השם חרה בעם ויח השם בעם מכה רבה מאוד and then it's called קברות התאווה the graves of desire of lust
And grave.
Crave. Graveyard. They died there. Uh-huh. A lot of people themselves died there because of this. Like he's telling them, Lo yom echad tochlu, you're not going to eat it one day, Velo yomayim, and not 2 days, and not 5 days, and not 10 days. Look at the description, and not 20 days. And by the way, everything has got a meaning. Ad chodesh yamim. For a whole month, you will eat ad asher yetze ma'apchem. Till you go up. You know, you sit in a good restaurant, you order a steak. We're talking, we are now in filet mignon. How many steaks can you eat? 1, 2, 3, 4, no. How many? More than 5? Impossible. No. Impossible. Yeah. Well, what are you going to eat to feel in the 5th steak?
Sick.
Out of your nose. And God is telling you, you wanted meat? Okay, now sit. I'm going to give you a steak. You want a steak? No problem. But not 1 steak. Not 2 steaks. Not 3 steaks. Not 20 steaks. A whole month you're going to eat steak.
And each of these numbers has a
meaning. Everything. Always, you see, always in the Bible we have to understand every number has got a meaning. If it's 300, and you look into it, 3, 4 times, you say Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Yes? Why do you say Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh 3 times? Why don't you say 10, 20 times? What, that's the holiness of God? Holy, holy, holy? If you do a good deed for 3 times, what happened then? It's like a nether. Because that's where you have to say bli nether. Because if you do something good 3 times, you have to go on doing it. In other words, 3 is symbol of all. In other words, you say Kadosh, 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 there is no more holiness than this. That's the complete holiness. Because otherwise you go to Kadosh, 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 Kadosh. How many Kadosh can you say to the Kadosh Baruch Hu? With no end. So Chazal say, tell us that 3 is Kviut. What is Kviut?
Forever.
So when you say Kadosh, 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 it means that God, that is holy. And that's it. There is no more holiness than this. And if you do something 3 times, you have to say bli neder, because otherwise, like also, you said, that's, I'm going to do this forever. You need atarat nedarim. Yes. 40 days. What is 40 days? 40 days we got the Torah. In other words, 40 days is something that you can get in 40 days is very important. Seven. Shabbos. Eight. Above the nature. Because when you turn the eight on the side, it's infinity. And so it goes on and on and on. Good evening.